Supporters of the opposition, mainly France and Britain, pressed in the UN today for a no-fly zone, while the New York Times reports that the White House thinks it's too late to amass the equipment needed. And government forces in Libya claim to have taken cities in the east, including Ishtabiya and Brega, which would put them just 50 miles from Benghazi. Today, Muammar Gaddafi's son warned opposition leaders based in Benghazi that it would soon be too late for them to leave. We've reached an opposition member in Benghazi. We're calling him Ahmed. And Ahmed, first, you and others had begged for a no-fly zone for international help. What's the feeling now that it hasn't come?
What I think now is disappointment is in between the people. Yani, it's been a month now, and we haven't seen any international help. A no-fly zone would be wonderful, but no one is concentrating on that anymore. People are realizing that the international community is not going to help us, so they're just going to rely on ourselves. And right now, the military forces that were waiting for the international help before are making calls for all their troops now, and they're trying to gain back the forces. And from the news I hear from Ishtabiya and Brega, that we're pretty much controlling everything.
But the government says they control Brega, and just north of that, in Ajibia, rebels and residents there had to retreat even further north to Benghazi.
Well, you can hear a lot of things from the Libyan government TV, from the Libyan state TV. Yesterday, I read and I heard it from the Libyan Shababiya TV. It says that the government have Benghazi back in control, which is not true because I was standing there between the people. All, not most, but all of it is a big lie.
Just to some other options that the White House is said to be considering, jamming Libyan government radio or financing opposition forces with the billions in Libyan government and Gaddafi family money that's frozen by the U.S. Would you welcome weapons from the U.S.?
Well, we welcome this, but the problem is that machinery and small guns and this stuff, it doesn't work anymore. We need bombs, we need missiles, we need big stuff.
Ahmed, what do you think will happen if you don't get help?
I told my friend earlier that last night was a big night here in Benghazi because we were hearing that we're in control of most of the cities in the center of Libya. We're hearing that there's a conflict in between the Gaddafi troops in Sirte. There's troubles in between his forces.
You're saying that you're hearing that the opposition is in control in some cities, but also that there's disharmony, there's conflict between fighters loyal to Gaddafi.
Yeah, that's what we heard. Yeah. I can't tell you anything for sure, but that's what we hear now, and that's what the people in Brega and Ishtabiya come back here and tell us this is the news.
So you're obviously digging in. How are you doing with supplies? Do you have enough food? Do people in Benghazi have water and food?
Yeah, no one here is in shortage of anything. Supplies from Egypt, from the borders, and from the sea are coming loads and loads every day. Traders are selling in cheaper prices.
How long do you think you can hold out, though?
Well, I don't know, really, but here in Benghazi, I mean, the old military that used to be in the government, that is now with us, with the protesters, are gaining back its troops. There are calls all over the Free Libya radio here about collecting the groups, grouping back, because what happened in the last few weeks is that the military was waiting for an international aid, was waiting for an international help, while the protesters, the opposition, the civilians that had no idea about war and military, they were fighting. But what happened now is that everyone realized that there's no international help, so the military is in control now.
But, what we're hearing is that loyalists to Gaddafi have taken control of Ishtabiya right below you, and that rebel leaders in Benghazi, where you are saying privately, you know, through tears, that they believe that there is going to be an attack on Benghazi, where you are.
No way, that's no way. The first thing I just want to say that we're not rebels. We're freedom seekers, we're opposition.
Opposition.
Yeah. So what happened today in Ishtabiya, and I'm not sure about Brega, but for sure in Ishtabiya, is that the opposition is in Ishtabiya, but they're bombarding it from outside.
So Ahmed, if these mercenaries loyalist to Gaddafi come to Benghazi, where the opposition seat is, what do you think will happen?
Well, he's more than welcome. People here are willing to do anything for their freedom. There's no way that he's coming here in Benghazi. And if, and I say if he comes, he's more than welcome here. Everyone here is willing to give their lives for this freedom, for this country. We're not going back anymore. We just skipped the line. There's no way that we're going back.
You feel you've crossed a line. You know, Libya was on everyone's mind. And now, frankly, you know, Japan is on a lot of people's minds.
Well, people had a month to choose which side they're on. I mean, if the international community wanted to do anything, they would have done it 2 weeks ago. What are they waiting for? Who are they waiting for? No one except France, I think, is believing in Libya. So what are they waiting for?
Ahmed, thanks very much for speaking with us, and
best
of luck to you.
Thank you.
The BBC's John Lyon is in Benghazi, and John, we just heard from Ahmed, who's in the opposition and also there in Benghazi. He doesn't believe Gaddafi's forces are in control of Ishtabiya and other cities like Brega, just south of you. He doesn't believe the tide is turning. Has the tide now turned toward Gaddafi?
Well, the tide's been turning for quite a few days, but it's a question of how far it's come in or gone out. Basically, the fighting is in or around Ajdabiya, which is the next town before you get here to Benghazi, about 80 miles west. Government forces had taken up positions outside the town. The opposition were in reasonable numbers inside the town, obviously outgunned by the government, very determined. It's a different environment to what they fought in so far. The previous towns they took, Brega, Ras Lanuf, pretty small towns, just oil refineries with a few houses attached. This is a bigger town, 100,000 people or more. So it's a reasonable sized town. It means that the government is more vulnerable if they go into more kind of urban warfare, which is where their advantage in heavy gunpowder starts to not be so significant. But I think most people would say they will probably, in due course, pound Ajdabiya into submission. And then it's their call. Do they want to attack Benghazi? Have they got the forces to attack Benghazi? Of that, I'm still sceptical, because this is a city of a million people, many of whom very, very determined to resist, because they know what would happen to them if Colonel Gaddafi takes over here again.
Well, sure. I mean, Gaddafi may have the firepower right now, but that seems to be a question. Does he have the foot soldiers? But on the other hand, as to the question of what he might do, his son addressed the opposition while speaking to the French media. He said to the opposition in Benghazi, you can leave, you can go in peace to Egypt, because within 48 hours, everything will be finished. Our forces are almost in Benghazi. Whatever you decide, it will be too late. In other words, by the time we get there, if you're still there, the implication seems to be that they're certainly not going to have any mercy.
Well, I think that's what everybody expects if they do move in here. As to taking over this place within 48 hours, well, we've heard a lot of propaganda from the government. They tend to announce they've already taken places before they've even started attacking them sometimes. This surely will be of a completely different order to anything we've seen so far in Libya. This is a city of a million people, lots of guns, yes, not heavily armed, but lots and lots of AK-47s. Every household will have a gun of some sort, probably. And people very, very determined, because they know that if they lose, there will be horrible vengeance wreaked on them.
Yeah.
And the government, well, what have they got? Some thousands of troops, maybe they've been reinforced, maybe they can muster as many as 10,000, I very much doubt it. That's not that many people, even with tanks, to put into a city of a million people. So I think Saif al-Islam is trying to obviously scare people here, obviously to up the ante, but the idea of this city suddenly collapsing and being in government control in 48 hours, well, maybe, but I think it looks unlikely.
Well, so Ahmed, who we spoke with, may actually not be that, you know, deluded as he might sound to some people, but we wonder too, you know, the fact that he doesn't think that, you know, there's any force to Gaddafi. I'm wondering what that says about how word is filtering down to foot soldiers in the opposition like Ahmed, because we're reading that the opposition leaders seem to be more realistic about the strength that Gaddafi's gaining.
Yes. I mean, what you hear about Gaddafi's forces is mixed. You do hear an awful lot of them described as mercenaries, an awful lot of stories about foreign fighters. It was Africans to start with. a lot of reports also that those people who are fighting in Colonel Gaddafi's forces, even if they're Libyans, are doing it under duress. Either they're almost literally at gunpoint, or they say here, well, the people go out in the aircraft with no parachutes, so they can't just ditch their planes and drop into opposition territory. And lots of reports of the families of military leaders being kind of held hostage. Now, it's very difficult to verify that, but we do know certainly that on several occasions when government forces have been ordered to fire on Libyan people, dissent has broken out within the ranks of the army. You have a few hardliners, a few absolute hardliners, who are in these elite brigades, and then you have the normal foot soldiers, normal Libyans, maybe from the same areas they're supposed to be attacking, and obviously they're pretty reluctant to open fire on their own people.
Well, and Ahmed referred to that as well. He said there was dissension within the ranks of the loyalists. But your sense of what can happen now to help? It's, pretty much assumed it's too late for any no-fly zone, you know, just to get the equipment in place wouldn't help. Is there anything that outside forces can do to help Libyans?
Well, they certainly don't think here it's too late for a no-fly zone. They're desperate for one. I would say it's almost become a sort of mantra for the opposition, really, even despite what military impact it might have. They'll say, well, we'll just be in Tripoli tomorrow. The day you impose a no-fly zone, we'll sweep westwards. Clearly, that's not the case. Gaddafi's forces have, tanks and so forth, which they don't have on this side. But what a gesture of support it would be to have American F-16s flying overhead and maybe bombing a few radar and anti-aircraft positions. I mean, it would be a huge morale booster for the opposition here.
But the reporting here says that the concession is that if they decided to do it today, it would take till April to get the ships in place.
I can't see why that would be the case. I think their aircraft carriers are off the coast now. If they're not, I wonder why they're not, frankly.
Well, and do you get the sense that, as Ahmed said, people there in Benghazi are ready to die, are willing to die?
Oh, yes. They already have. They took on the army base here at the beginning of this protest, literally with unarmed young people, taking on a fully armed army base. Not only did they take it on, they marched past it in the full knowledge they would be shot, and they were. They reckon 300 people died in those original protests here before the city was freed from Colonel Gaddafi's control. So that's a scale of the determination. They took on that army base and they defeated it using things like digger trucks, just driving construction equipment into the wall of the base and improvising explosives, improvising petrol bombs. So there is a determination here. I think if Gaddafi's forces do decide to come into the city, and they may feel they may have the confidence to think they can do, if they do, I think it could get extremely nasty. They're going to be in a situation of urban warfare, and it could get very nasty indeed.
The BBC's John Lyne speaking to us from Benghazi in Libya. John, thank you as always.
My pleasure.